Next normal, we study at home.
Normali il-ġdijt, nistudjaw id-dar.
Dear listeners, hello everybody, and welcome to this new episode of our podcast series, Next Normal, We Study at Home. Our podcast series where we talk to students from all over Europe about their recent study situation and their ideas and perspectives for the future of higher education. It's the last episode of the year 2020. What a strange year it's been. We're finishing it with many question marks, and I think one thing is certain, that next year will be full of challenges as well for all of us, and of course also for higher education and for students in higher education. Strangely, without the crisis, we probably wouldn't have started this podcast, so it's been said a lot, but there's also opportunities in this crisis. My name is Laura Eickbrecht. I'm working at the Cooperative State University Baden-Württemberg in Karlsruhe in southwest Germany. And together with my colleague Patricia Bonodo, I'm doing this podcast. We've already talked to Edward De Gabriele and Nicole Galea from Malta in the last episode. And as it's been a very rich interview, we're sharing the second part of our interview today. We've already heard about the big impact that the virus and the corona crisis have had in such a small country as Malta, and how the virus was always very close. Today we will hear more about the impact on the very international feel that is kind of a trademark of Malta, but also about the impressive solidarity of people in Malta and especially students to master this crisis. And very importantly, we will also hear about the impact on mental health of students, but also on the perception of the issue of mental health. So welcome again, Nicole Galea and Edward De Gabriele, and welcome dear listeners. We're wishing you a very good, healthy end of the year, and we're looking forward to bringing you new episodes in the next year about what it's like to be a student right now in Europe. You know, I once went to Malta on holiday, and there's always like a very international feel that I grasped somehow. Of course, you have all those people coming to learn English. You have exchange students and, of course, a lot of tourists, etc. So on the point of international exchange and being international in Malta, how did the last months feel, and how do you think you can go back to normal or not?
I mean, in the beginning, unfortunately, we had basically nothing. At point, we had to close down the airport, so everyone was kind of going back home to be with their family, since we really didn't know what would happen and how long this would last. So for a while, unfortunately, the international presence really took a hit, and it was basically just the Maltese and maybe the foreigners that now consider Malta their home. Moving forward towards summer, it did change. The airports kind of opened again, and because we were getting such low cases, it kind of came back. Not as in full force as it was before, definitely not. Definitely took a really big hit, but at least there was something. It's not horrible, but it's not the way it was, that's for sure. I think that's the main point of all of this. And even Erasmus within itself at university, we're not having that many foreign students coming down just to sit at home on a laptop. It's not kind of the point of an Erasmus Plus project. Even as a council, we are trying our utmost to try and give these people a kind of new family that they can at least rely on, and give them an experience that's definitely different. It's at least a memorable time and a memorable experience while they're here, and hopefully move towards something better in the future. It's all uncertain. We need to kind of move step by step, day by day.
A lot of students still came to Malta via the Erasmus program, but unfortunately, a lot of Maltese people have chosen to cancel or have had their program canceled outgoing. I managed to get back from my Erasmus program a few weeks prior to the start of the pandemic, after spending a few months in Helsinki in Finland. But most students from my program who are a year younger, who are starting now, they are internship involves working in hospitals abroad, they've had it all canceled. So that is a huge learning opportunity that has been missed, a huge culture enrichment opportunity that has been missed, a chance for personal growth that has been missed. Because for most people at the University of Malta, their Erasmus program is the first time they live alone. So it's the first time they have to live entirely independently. My heart goes out to these students because it's something they're not going to be able to get back, unfortunately. It will definitely be a sour point on their educational experience. The international community in the University of Malta disappeared within a matter of weeks. Erasmus permanent international, so people on a full-time program, all of them went back to their home countries. And then some of them found it very difficult to get back, especially those who are from non-European countries. We have a very strong community from Oman and Kuwait, for example, at the University of Malta. those students found it very difficult to make their way back, and some of them only started coming back in August after they left in March, April. We always offer support to these students wherever they need, even if it's with logistical issues, but even if they need a community. Thankfully, we have a strong little group of international students who are part of the KSU community and the KSU family. And we understand how difficult it must be for these students to be in a foreign country outside of their comfort zone with no family members to rely on. So we try to be that family, like Nicole said, as much as possible.
And on top of that, we're lucky enough to have some staple events that we can actually do within COVID. So for example, we had a drive-in cinema, which was COVID safe, that went very well. We're hopefully going to have a car treasure hunt. Obviously, it's a lot of rethinking and redesigning and reconceptualizing, but it's something you kind of have to do, especially for these international students who really do need to get that experience that they deserve by coming to Malta.
I would very much like to take up these aspects, or I'm wondering if you could mention things that were working really well, positive surprises maybe, or inspirational stories like we just heard about the international students. Are there other stories or positive surprises that maybe also may shape how we will interact or study in the future?
With regards to positive experiences, I think one of the biggest ones was many of the students who study in the healthcare sphere, even though they were still studying and their courses continued and their demands of their studies were still very much present, a lot of them stepped forward and volunteered within the public healthcare services. We had students as frontline swabbing staff, so people doing the PCR swab tests. We had students as part of the contact tracing team, helping to keep caseloads low.
Students who weren't just healthcare workers as well.
Exactly. It reached a point, and then all students, it was all hands on deck. But the student community really stepped up mostly on a voluntary basis. These students were not receiving compensation. They were not getting the demands of their university course and university program lessened. Their exams were still exams. And still these students were giving 20, 30, even full 40-hour weeks of voluntary hours. I can confidently say that it is with that input and with the input even from the rest of the communities in Malta of everyone stepping forward that that's the only thing that really kept Malta afloat, because our public healthcare staff alone would not have been able to cope.
And on top of that as well, I think the pandemic kind of showed also a certain level of poverty. Not a lot of students had the means to continue with online lecturing, and not a lot of students had the means to sometimes even buy food because their job went into a situation where it couldn't support them anymore. That's, I think, where also the student body and the lecturing body and the university as a whole shone. We had students giving food, we had students giving funds, giving a part of their stipend to the university for them to actually give to students in need. We had our chaplaincy at school that really stood out and really did an amazing job at contacting these students in a way that didn't feel like they were being broadcast and revealed. They helped in a way that was very private and very not meant for the media, kind of just meant to be something that should be done in private. And it also kind of showed how supportive and how together we can be in a situation that requires it that way.
Exactly. And most of these people were not doing this to be able to show it off on social media. Most of these people were doing it out of a sense of civic duty. That's really what kept things going. Essentially, the idea was, even from the university's end, and I commend them for this, and with the help of all the staff, academic staff, administrative staff, and the student body itself, anything we could possibly try to deal with, there was always someone willing to help you. Even if the solution was not easy, you could rest assured and sleep knowing that someone is going to help you. And that, I think, really helped people get by. Malta opened a 24/7 mental health helpline just for people who are feeling lonely, isolated. They're starting to feel symptoms of depression and anxiety because of this.
Counseling sessions went completely online to maintain that connection with the students that need it as well.
The university counseling services, they're free of charge, even though obviously their resources are what they are. They may be a bit limited. Not only did they manage to maintain all of their services, they managed to increase the number of services and the frequency. Despite all the negativity COVID has brought, I have to say it's brought out some of the best shining aspects of our community.
And even on a academic side, I think we learned and appreciated more the aspect of mental health, how mental health does affect your studies and how mental health does come in the way sometimes of your studies. And we also appreciated technology and we appreciated the campus and we just started appreciating everything and how grateful and lucky we are as a whole. We were lucky that we managed to transition online and we were lucky to have people that were there to help us. And I think that very much shone through during COVID.
A lot of academic staff, a lot of lecturers realized the strain going through students' minds and tried their best to lighten the load or at least maybe better distribute it, give, for example, extensions on deadlines. And this is something that, if I understand correctly, has happened all across Europe. And again, at this point, then solidarity has to go to people. Again, we are European, and that means that we have a very extensive good support network, even across different countries. Mm-hmm. But we have to obviously remember our colleagues outside of Europe who maybe are not so lucky.
For sure.
Who cannot boast about these fortunate circumstances that we can speak about today here.
It was really beautiful to hear what you just said. And I think the message you gave, which was like that every student, no matter what problems he or she might have, can be sure that somebody will help and support him. That's so nice.
Try our best, and I think the university is trying its best as well, and all non-necessarily university entities like counseling, like chaplaincy, and like so many others, they're trying their best.
It's something that's very proud of. Malta is not a perfect country by any means. I think it's part of the fact that we're a very small country, 500,000 population, but what that means that if that's our entire country, we have a very strong sense of community. Mm-hmm. And we take care of each other, we take care of our own, and we try as much as possible that even when we have guests from other countries, we try to treat them with as much hospitality as possible. I hope you experienced that when you were here, Laura.
Oh, I did. I really did.
Me too, actually.
You've been here too? Okay, great.
Yeah, I've been a lot to Malta, actually.
But we always like keeping in touch with the colleagues and the people we make, and even when we go back to our separate countries, we always try to keep in touch. I solidly believe there's no excuse to not keep in touch. Distance is no excuse in this day and age to not keep in touch with people.
After this part of the interview, Patricia and I were kind of touched. It was very special to hear about how there was such a big community spirit in Malta, also amongst students who were volunteering in order to make everybody manage the situation in the best way possible. And also, it's so important to hear about the very important aspect of mental health and mental health care and mental health management. There's already a lot from this to take for the future, but there will be more from Edward and Nicole.
Then now turning our attention to the future, to the next normal. How can we create an even better future of higher education? So what should we take as a learning for designing the future of higher education?
I love this topic, and it's been one I've been discussing with people since the very start of the pandemic.
He really has.
Cole, and all of my colleagues have suffered for that reason. Essentially, we would be foolish to try and go back to every same system pre-COVID. It would be such a lost opportunity to not take all of these new experiences. Most students and the student body has been pushing for us to try new things, try new systems. We never got through. It had to be a pandemic to force the hand, but
it forced it.
It forced it. And now we've got to try new things. Why should we abandon online lectures? As you both know, in Malta, we've got two separate islands. This could be the future for trying to facilitate people who live on the sister island, Gozo. And then they're constantly ferrying back and forth on weekends. They have high costs because they have to rent an apartment in Malta to stay here on weekdays. Why shouldn't these students be catered for with online lectures, even in a post-pandemic environment?
Even a lecture that's maybe online that would usually be from 5 to 8 on a Friday. Yes. Having that online would really help them out.
And we sometimes encounter issues with, so to speak, room allocation. So when we have especially very large groups, finding a lecture hall for them can be very tedious, and then there's a lot of logistical issues, time wasted that could be better spent dealing with more important logistical issues. Put it online and free up human resources within a university to focus on more hard-hitting issues. Digitization has been a huge win, and I do hope sincerely that even in a post-pandemic environment, all the nice things we mentioned previously will stay on. We will continue to appreciate each other's company and each other's involvement in one another's lives. Mm-hmm. We continue to appreciate the campus and the physical presence at university. and we will continue to keep giving to the communities. So I really hope we'll stick to this newer mentality of we're all here together. We all want to get through the course program together. So let's help each other out.
And on top of that, I think some of the technology just makes sense. You know, recording a lecture, it's something that I can listen back on and remember that lecture, and it will help me study. You know, something as simple as that could completely change the way we study and change the way we learn, and in a positive way, in my opinion.
And on your point of mental health, for example, you've woken up with higher anxiety than normal. You're not feeling up to a lecture. So what's the point of forcing yourself to go to a lecture? Nothing is going to be absorbed into your memory or your conscious thought. Because all you're thinking about is how much you want to get back home and be in a safer place. Mm-hmm. Why shouldn't you have access to go back to that lecture later on? So I'm hoping that these little tidbits here and there will stay on, that we can actually have a much stronger community and enrich the experience of people at university and decrease the mental health strain.
Of course, and even just considering mental health as being sick sometimes, you know.
Do you think that there are certain specific skills that we need to successfully study in the future? And if yes, how can we promote them?
I think technology in general should be
I think we should go back to primary education, exactly, and start to teach these skills that we realize that we needed. Should have been in a position in the year 2020 where students in their late teens or early 20s are having issues with technological literacy. I think at that point, that should be a fundamental human skill. And I think our education system should reflect that.
I think the pandemic definitely helped on that regard, because children had to have online lectures as much as we did. Well, online school, not lectures.
Online school.
And I just hope that the next generation, even after them, they give that skill to them. You never know what will happen, and you'll never know what you'll need. It's a necessary skill to have.
And I think another one is personal mental health management.
And awareness.
And awareness in general. I think that's very important. I think people would have suffered less during the pandemic. They were already aware that it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to seek therapy. It's okay to feel like you're afraid, to feel like you're not in control of your emotions. These things are natural, but to most people, they're very stigmatized.
Yeah.
And because of that, they're already isolated physically. And then they isolated themselves mentally as well, because they felt stigmatized. I think we should be enforcing the notion that it's okay to feel that way.
Yeah.
And it's okay to get help. If you have a cold, if you're sick, physically sick, you go to a doctor. Why do we have an issue about when we have mental health issues, we go to a professional in that field? Why is there this discrepancy? It's all about stigma. And I think it's something that in the future we should pay much more attention to.
And also kind of just learning to talk to each other and keep up with each other and ask each other, listen, like, how are you doing? Did you wake up okay today? Like, did you have a lecture? How did that lecture go? Do you need any help? Can I give you some notes? Do you need anything? I think that's something that really came out of the pandemic, and it's something that should keep going and grow further, because the more support you have in your life, the more help you have, the better you'll be. And I think that definitely shone through now, and I hope it keeps being recycled back into the next generation.
I really like that you put a lot of stress on the aspect of mental well-being, mental health. I guess it's kind of something that you would probably answer to our next question also. Like, the primary issues and concerns from your or your organization's point of view for students in the future, what do you think these might be?
We've entered the territory of what I do here at KSU as well. From our analysis, it was a common point of contention is that communication is key. Communication is key when things are going well, but then good communication is the tipping point between success and failure when things are going wrong. We stress that education institutions need to communicate updates with their students as soon as a decision is made. We should not have a scenario where a decision is made in an internal meeting of administration of any kind, but the decision is not communicated until days, weeks, months after. Because anything can be dealt with if you are prepared. But it's useless if the university is prepared and the students are not. And to be prepared, you need time. So it's important to plan ahead, have contingency plans in place. As KSU, we spent the first few months drafting what we call our pandemic response policy. We surveyed over 1,000 students within the University of Malta. And from that, we created a list of common issues and our recommendations for policy within the university. We're happy to say that the university has already started implementing some of our recommendations as KSU. So we've seen cooperation from their end and a willingness, a sense of humbleness, I think, because I'm sure it's not easy for a university to draft policy given to them by their student union. You have to swallow your pride to be able to do that. And we're thankful that the university has made that step and collaborated with us so openly over the past few months.
Thank you for this really inspiring and exciting conversation. Yeah, and we will now come to our last question or our last little challenge, because we will finish as we have started. What are the first three words that come to your mind describing the ideal future of higher education?
Collaboration, empathy, and understanding.
I would say communication, understanding, and hopefully learning not just from the past, but the future and the present as well, and moving forward that direction.
Next Normal, We Study at Home is a podcast produced by the Next Education Working Group around Ulf Daniel Ehlers, Patricia Bonodo, and Laura Albrecht from the Baden-Württemberg Cooperative State University Karlsruhe in Germany, strongly supported by the ESU, the European Students Union.
Next Normal, We Study at Home.
Normali LGD, mi studiavo dal.